yesterday that the father of Brother C.J. Benner died on Sunday, Easter Sunday. And Brother Benner left, of course, to go to Rayford, North Carolina, where his father had lived. I recall that his sister also, that is our Brother Benner's sister, came to the seminary while she worked in the bookstore during our first year or two here, and was a splendid help to the seminary in those early days. I recall also that Brother Benner, out of a considerable depth of poverty, the family never had accumulated anything much of this world's goods, used to send rather frequently a check for $5 up here to help some student who might need it. And my mind went back rather vividly to those early days when $5 was a lot of money for Southeastern Seminary. I can so well remember the first check for $25 that a man handed me, and we were able to eke out together the existence of all of us, and some of us it was bare existence. I trust that we will think not only of the fact that a fellow student has lost his father, but that we will remember again that there are many noble souls in unlikely garments who still walk among us with the grace of the Savior in their hearts. I'm reading a passage which to me is familiar and beloved from the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Paul is writing to those whom he loved, of course, perhaps as he loved no other group. And he is talking about some of the things that passed out of life because of the resurrection of Jesus. Some things that had seemed important changed their value relationships for him. In typical fashion, in the fourth verse, he says, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. These words seem to me wonderful post-Easter words to remind us of that which we so easily forget in our fast, accelerated life and our numerous holidays. May we bow together in prayer. And again, our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks. Thanks for the blessings of life which still are ours. Thanks for the opportunities of life which, especially on the physical plane, stretch out before us. We give thee deeper thanks for the vision to see that there are fields white unto harvest, which the world seems to be unconscious of. We thank thee for the open doors that appear to the Christian's inner eye. We realize afresh that there are many adversaries. So often we do not know what to do when we try to think of the plan that is really thy plan, the plan for the ages. Give us grace, we pray, to walk step by step and to do the duties that lie before us day by day. And help us to give thee thanks that we see the light at least one step ahead. We remember again the supreme gift of thy grace in Christ Jesus. And we know in our hearts that it is the supreme, the unique, the once for all great gift and expression of thy love. Grant to us to see him as center, as guide, as the only Savior, as the friend for all our needs and distresses. Bless especially, we pray, our friend and brother who knows the dark hours of sorrow now, who feels that terrible sense of loneliness that comes when those we have loved and lost, at least for a while, lie before us dead in the flesh. Grant, we pray, that hope that enfleshes with thine own gift of resurrection and thine own incarnation, the body that pleases thee. Grant us to see and to know that our loved ones are in thy care, and there they are better cared for than we could ever provide. Grant us also the fellowship of those who suffer, because we know something at least of the fellowship of thy suffering. We would, as we think again of Easter and the sufferings that made Easter possible, ask that we too be made conformable unto thy death, that we may attain unto the resurrection. Bless this seminary. We have so much to try to do. There are so many things for Christians with dedicated minds and hearts to see and to attempt in thy name. We can pray from the depths of our hearts for thy grace to be made manifest and thy leadership to come forth even out of the sufferings in Africa, even out of the problems of racial and political tension in our own land, out of the turmoil that obtains in the lands of our yellow friends. Grant, our Heavenly Father, that we may discern something of our duty, that we may carry forward thy purpose in all these and in every other responsibility which comes to the consciousness of seminary men and women. Make this seminary strong in thy sight and for thy purposes, dedicated to thy will, humble in attitude, but brave in purpose. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a short chapel today, brethren. I really mean that. It will be longer tomorrow, and I hope that you will be back tomorrow and that you will make it a point to see that every possible student is here, because a significant speaker will be present, Brother C. Stanley Lowell of the organization called Protestants and Other Americans United, and so on. He will speak to us concerning things that are very important right now, the problem of Catholicism and the proper relationships to it and our right attitudes toward that problem. We all recognize its importance now in this election year, and I think we ought to do our best to be informed on the problem. I also want to announce here that on Thursday and Friday mornings, right after chapel, and I hope that we may have, if the Student Coordinating Council can arrange it, and Brother Durham also can arrange it, that we may have reasonably short chapel periods that day, for at 10:30. We want all of those who are graduating this year, certificate men, BD men, THM men, and women too, of course. I think again of Oscar Johnson, who used to say so often, when I say man, I embrace woman. And so we are asking that you seniors and graduates of every sort, if you can bring your wives, they will be welcome, but it's primarily for you and for the young ladies who will be graduating. And also, we're asking that our missionary friends who are visiting on the campus this year be present. Then the faculty will be there, and the purpose is that, the main purpose, if I may be perfectly frank about it, is that I don't want any more for seniors to leave this place and I not have met them, perhaps. Perhaps, I suppose, one or two at least have graduated, and I didn't shake hands with them until I congratulated them up here as they received their diplomas. That shouldn't be, and I hope will not be. So we're asking you to come. There'll be some coffee and milk and donuts, and I think the Swiss call it patisseries, other types of pastry that our chef may be able to work up, and they will be free, except for an offering from Strickland and Briggs and McKay and Osborne and Sistrunk. We will have a free will offering from those brothers to help defray the expenses. Now, for just a very few moments, this, as you probably realize, is about the last chapel I will have charge of this year. I think on May 3rd I'm scheduled again, unless a prominent visitor shows up. But I have received so many times wonderful words of congratulation about Southeastern, and I confess that if flattery is the food of fools, I've had my share and enjoyed it. Only yesterday, a college president was on the campus, and he said, well, Staley, I don't know how you feel now. You say you've had the flu and don't feel as strong as you'd like to. Well, I never have. But he said, I'll say one thing. You and this faculty here have built a seminary. And he said it in such a way as to convey his deep conviction that this is a tremendous school, and it happens that he is one of those Christian college presidents of outstanding Christian character and qualities, and I appreciated it the more deeply because in the brief conversation he gave evidence again of the sincerity of his Christian purposes and his insight into the Christian calling in this generation. But also there come those things to make us think. My dad used to say, and his philosophy lives on in me, it's pretty cheap philosophy sometimes, he said, a dog has to have fleas in order to know he's a dog. In other words, it's a pretty good thing for people to be conscious of some faults and some flaws and mistakes they've made in order that they be not too complacent or proud. And one of the criticisms that has come pertains, I suppose, to all of us, but it was directed toward the students at the time I heard it last, at any rate. It has come rather frequently. They say that our seminary students are doing a tremendous work, those who are pastors, throughout this section of the state and of the Southeast, reaching into Virginia and South Carolina also. But, said this rather astute observer, I notice that they build the local church. They build that which they see immediately, and he implied that which pertains to their support while they are students, and they neglect the cooperative work. So often they do not attend the associational meetings. They seem not to emphasize, as well as we wish anyhow, the collective work, to put it in ordinary terms, the cooperative program. And this being an astute man smiled and said, I know there are faults in the cooperative program, as there are faults in every other program that men have tried to set up, and every organization they have ever affected for the carrying on either of social or religious work. But he said, it's the best we have. And not this man, but another said very bluntly to me one day, he said, I don't see how you or any seminary person can despise the cooperative program and yet receive your salary checks from it. That's a pretty blunt way of putting it. I replied to him that the students were busy here and that they have a problem of trying to keep up with classes, and that if they're building the local churches, that is, after all, a very vital thing. And then we discussed the cooperative program and the general working together of Southern Baptists. And I said, so often we do not see the way that some of the men see who do the primary work of promotion. The conclusion, however, was this, brethren, that if we need to work together, as all of us know we do, and we can find a better way, let's work that better way. But unless we find a better way, let's work together nevertheless. It has been put to me straightly saying that seminary people tend to look down their noses at other people. I would venture this opinion, that if you violate the law of love, which is the law of Christ, this very central essence of Christ, with education or learning, it is just as sadly and badly violated as if you violated it with ignorance or bigotry or prejudice. It makes no difference how love is violated. When love is violated in any life, there is a tremendous price to pay in that life and in the world. And so I venture to say that this seminary ought to be the fountain source for better ways of cooperating, rather than for breaking the fellowship and the cooperation that is essential to our united testimony in this world. Now that brings me to the text which I read. Paul, like us, had mistaken the values, had gotten twisted, was giving his life and was carrying on his daily routine, conscious of a background which, when he thought about it, he was quite proud of. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He belonged to the right race. He belonged to the right party. The Pharisees were undoubtedly, at least as far as I've ever been able to learn, the best of the Jewish parties. He had followed the customs of his race, of his people. He had absorbed their causes and was against the things they were against and for the things they were for, and was therefore quite proud of it. Now you can turn that thing, for it's a sort of sword many ways. You could turn it and say, we Southern Baptists are entirely too proud. We have set up our own customs, our own ways, and it is up to some of us to change those ways, for they are not the ways of God. They are the ways that men have slowly imposed upon other groups and a great denomination. That could be said, and could be said with propriety and with considerable force. I'm not thinking so much there. I am thinking that whether it be Paul the Jew, the Pharisee, the Hebrew, the Benjamite, or whether it be us as Southern Baptists, or us simply as persons from a particular state or from a family of which we are proud, whatever it is that simply conforms us to the world about us, we'd better take a pretty careful look at and get our values straightened out. For mixed values, a mixed sense of values, is, in my judgment, the most dangerous thing that can happen. For example, if we're not careful this year, we're going to be sucked in by such men even as Drew Pearson, whom I like to read, as you do, I suppose, nearly every day. But he says we must not let religious prejudice come into the election. If we are going to be afraid of having the word prejudice or bigot cast at us, how are we going to think carefully and rightly and evaluate properly the danger of a man who has not yet proved that he is independent of Cushman and John the 23rd? Now, I'm not saying, telling you how to vote. I'm saying I'm going to look at that until I see the true value in this thing. And so, you see, Paul is saying, I didn't realize what the real values are until I learned of the resurrection. Until I learned of the climax of the life of Jesus, whose story I had heard. And when I heard and saw clearly the story of his life and realized afresh the significance of his death, and then saw the power of God demonstrated in his resurrection, then I said to myself, all things are as dung. They are really nothing unless I center here. I would suggest that some of us need so clearly to perceive and